there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. As we all know, April is Earth Month, and it's my absolute pleasure to kick it off with this delightful conversation with 14-year-old Cash from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Cash is an award-winning river and ocean conservationist and was named a top five Time Magazine Kid of the Year, and his platform is called, appropriately, the Conservation Kid. He co-founded an organization called the Cleanup Kids that engages young people all over the country in the important work of cleaning up our beaches and riverbanks. This passion for the environment was sparked for Cash when he was only 7 years old. Once again, I'm just blown away by the young people whose care and concern for our planet is sparked at a very young age and who follow through to lead the way for all of us. Hey, Cash, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Why don't you start off by telling us your whole story, how old you are, where you live, where you go to school, what grade you are, and all that good stuff, and then tell us how you became the Conservation Kid.
So I'm 14 years old from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I'm actually homeschooled, have been for basically ever. And I just got started in conservation when I was 7 years old, when I found a plastic straw on the beach. I had always loved animals. I had always loved getting out into nature and being out in the beautiful God-given world that we have. And then one year, I was on a family beach vacation and I found a plastic straw on the beach. And after I found that straw, we went back home and I started doing research about plastic and the way that it impacts nature and the way that it impacts the environment. And once I started doing that research, I found out that 80% of all ocean trash comes from rivers. And living in Tennessee, the Tennessee River is actually the most polluted with microplastics than any other river tested in the entire world, which is extremely shocking to me because you think that would be somewhere not in America. You think that'd be somewhere overseas, but it was really eye-opening to see all the data and research done about plastics, especially in rivers, because when you think about pollution, you usually think about the oceans. You usually don't think about rivers, but all rivers, all creeks lead to the ocean. And then I just started doing cleanups, small ones with my family, and then they sort of got bigger, and then to here now, to where I've removed 45,000 pounds of trash out of the river.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. You know, what I love about this story is that you were at the ocean, presumably, when you found the, you know, on a vacation and you found the straw. And, you know, when people go to the beach, you know, I live here in New York City and we're on Long Island, which is, you know, a very popular beach area. And there's just so much trash that people leave, right? They don't pick up after themselves. The tide comes in, it washes it out. So that seems like sort of this logical thing. And then you think to yourself, like on a river, I suppose people camp, right? And they camp right on the water there on the edge of the river, and people go on their boats and sadly probably drop their trash over the side of the boat, which I cannot fathom because you're on a boat and you probably have a garbage bag. But it's so interesting to me that this came for you from that initial experience on the beach, but then you brought it back to your home and to the rivers. So tell me more about the cleanups, how often you do them, how you organize them, how you recruit your volunteers and all that good stuff, how you then dispose of the trash. Sounds like you collect an awful lot of it. And, you know, I often recommend that people do beach and park cleanups all the time. And there is this notion that it doesn't really make that big of a difference, but I really believe that it does. So tell us a little bit more about your efforts.
Yeah, so I do monthly river cleanups. We try and do them each month. In the hotter months, it's sort of harder to get people out there because they don't want to be out there sweating while picking up nasty trash. Right. But yeah, and then recruiting people is it's hard and easy at the same time because you have people you know that always come out to the cleanups, like my Trail Life youth group, people like that who I always invite. And then to get people I don't know to share the message that I try and get out is sort of harder because you have to post it on Facebook. You got to do a bunch of other stuff to get people you don't know out there. But one of my proudest accomplishments with a cleanup is getting the commissioner of TDEC out onto a cleanup, which TDEC is the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. I'm really good friends with him. I go to Capitol Hill every year to see him and a bunch of the other politicians. And disposing of the trash, we try and recycle as much as possible, especially the aluminum cans, because they can be infinitely recycled. And I recycle them myself. I partner with a dog park and a nursing home to collect the aluminum cans. And I've collected over 3 tons of cans from it.
Wow. Wow.
But most of the other trash, it just gets thrown away.
Sure. I mean, listen, that has its own issues, right? You know, landfills and burning and all of the things like, what are we doing with our trash? But the bottom line is we need to get it out of the water where it is polluting the water and killing the wildlife, right? You know, I've been looking at your social media and you obviously have some experiences now with, you know, sea turtles and other animals that are negatively impacted by the plastics that are in the ocean, that are choking them, you know, suffocating them, all of these things. So, you know, obviously getting it out of the water is the first step. So you have both your own sort of platform of the conservation kit, and then you have the cleanup kids, which is, I guess, your group of kids that go out and do these monthly cleanups. That's fantastic. Do you have a sense of how many people have worked with you over the years? It sounds like you've touched a lot of folks and a lot of kids have participated.
Well, that's a really good question. I really have no idea how many people have came to these cleanups. But I like to think I've impacted the whole Southeast, like, because I've put my monofilament bins up in Florida, no, not Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and I'm trying to get them in Louisiana and along the Mississippi, which that would be awesome.
So these are bins that you put out so people have a place to put their trash? Is that what those are?
These are fishing line, because especially here in Tennessee where I live, we have a really, really big fishing community. So there's a bunch of fishing line that gets thrown over the side of boats. But I have met a lot of fishermen that have reacted really, really well to these. And I've collected over 5,000 miles of fishing line.
Wow. Wow. I didn't even think of the fishing line. Of course, that's, you know, it's plastic and it's hard and it probably strangles animals and fish. And my gosh, it never even occurred to me that folks are kind of cutting their lines and throwing them into the water. That's incredible. Like, you're just raising so many issues that I hadn't even thought through. That's really, really special and important. Have you, you know, and I also really want to say that I just love that you've connected with some politicians and some folks in authority, because again, you can be doing this work at a really grassroots level, which is so important because you're educating kids and their families about the importance of all of this, of recycling and cleaning up after themselves and not polluting and all those things. But if you don't reach sort of the higher level folks who have the ability to make the legislative changes that might need to be made, right? Who make the rules, who make the laws, who make it illegal to do this stuff, you know, until we make it so that everybody is on the same page, nothing really substantively is going to change. But you started grassroots and to go to Capitol Hill and to make your cause known, and you're going to draw attention. You know, you're a young person who's really passionate about this. I hate to say it, but like, they're going to look at you and listen to you more than they would, you know, an older adult who's just sort of pontificating on this issue. So tell me, when you've been doing this work, have you faced any challenges or problems that you've had to overcome, and kind of what have you learned along the way? You've been doing this for a long time and you started when you were a really little kid, which is, you know, is amazing.
Yeah. Some of the biggest obstacles I face is definitely being a kid, because I can't drive. That's definitely one of the big ones. My mom has to literally drive me everywhere.
Right.
I've ruined her car putting trash in there.
Sure.
I feel some people may not take me seriously because I'm a kid, but I feel most people take me a little more seriously because I don't have any gain to have from this.
That's exactly right. You don't work for the plastics company. You know, you have no agenda here, right?
Yeah. Because I know some people may say, like, you do it for the awards, like, the attention. I've had people say that before. But no, I don't do it for that. I mean, it's nice to get the recognition and stuff, but that's not why I do it. I do it to make a difference. I do it to protect the planet.
Right. It's such a, sadly, we have such a cynical view of young people who are doing work like this that's outside of the realm of what you would typically see a 14-year-old do and be interested in and be passionate about. And yeah, to your point, like, yes, you should be recognized by, you know, Time Magazine or whatever. You should be on the local news because guess what? You're doing the work and you're raising the awareness, and it's admirable and it's impressive and it's inspiring, and it should inspire other kids to think to themselves, oh, what am I passionate about? What am I interested in? How can I make a difference? You know, I get, you know, I don't understand that cynical view. And I am applauding and celebrating, and that's what this podcast is all about. Every young person that has an idea and goes out into the world and does something about it, I would argue that you being featured in any kind of magazine or television or this podcast is, again, raising the awareness and sparking something for other people to do the same, to not pollute, to not throw their stuff over the side of the boat when they're fishing in a river. And maybe they'll learn something from you. And 14-year-olds have plenty to teach us. So how do you see this sort of growing over time? I mean, you've been doing it for a long time. You still have high school, and then you'll go off to college maybe someday. Do you see this sort of, do you have ambassadors? Do you have kids all over the state who are doing their own projects, or is it pretty much just you organizing the monthly stuff?
Well, I have people all over the country that help with this. I know a kid that lives here in the States that helps with orangutans.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I have Ella down in Florida that we co-founded the Cleanup Kids. There's a lot of amazing kids in this country doing a lot of amazing things. And yeah, I see this growing. I see this project getting bigger and helping more people, helping the environment a lot more. Yeah. And a big thing I want to do is photography, make a bunch of documentaries, because everybody's on Netflix. Everybody's scrolling through Instagram. That's how you reach people, is through the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and I love the idea of the Cleanup Kids having chapters, as you pointed out, Ella, in Florida. And this, the Cleanup Kids could be, and a lot of schools have a green committee or a green club or an environmental club or recycling club. Like, that's kind of a common theme, I think, in your generation, and a lot of schools have that. But if you have a really specific goal, especially in a community like yours, where it's about the rivers, not about, you know, the shoreline at the beach, I think there's a lot of education that can happen. And again, sort of franchising your idea, having other kids all over the country and all over the world starting Cleanup Kids clubs in their schools and in their communities, you know, you're going to get kids to join. That's going to grow. The social media is going to grow. The impact is going to grow, obviously, and it's just going to raise a ton of awareness. But yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's limitless, right? And you, as you pointed out, there are a lot of other kids who are super passionate about this. I had a young man on the podcast last year who's all about saving, he's in Australia, and he's all about the saving the coral reefs, the Great Barrier Reef, right? You know, he's also homeschooled, which feels like a little bit of a theme, right? Because being homeschooled, you and your family have an opportunity to travel. You have an opportunity to explore your passions and learn things that you might not be able to in a structured curriculum in a school. And if you are interested in the ocean or interested in marine biology, and your family goes on a vacation or on a trip during the school year, and you can just learn about that, you can control the stuff that you're learning, and it can follow your passion. So I just think that's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Cash, I want you to tell us everything about where folks can learn more, reach you, figure out a way to start their own Cleanup Kids branch in their community, your website, your social media, any of that good stuff. Share all of that with us.
So the Instagram is the Conservation Kid and the Cleanup Kids, and the same thing for Facebook. Yeah, and just reach out if you have any ideas. Follow me there. If you want to come do a cleanup, you can. Yeah.
Awesome. Amazing.
Yeah, and just get out there, make a difference, and just remember that kids may be a small part of the population, but we are 100% of the future.
That's absolutely right. Amen to that. Well, thank you so much, Cash. This was such a pleasure. I just loved hearing your story. I love hearing from young people who started something when they were 7 or 8 and that they're still doing it because it really, really matters to them and it matters to the whole world. So I want to say thank you. Thanks so much for joining me today and telling me the story. Take care.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.